The Skylark is probably the most iconic farmland bird. Everyone knows about Skylark. You know, they've been in poetry and, you know, you've up with the lark and singing like a lark. Anyone that has heard a lark singing couldn't but be taken with it. Larks were, or skylarks were gone from this area. They're here and there, but they're very quite rare. On our outside farm a couple of years ago, it was just one morning. I was over checking the kettle, and lo and behold, this skylark started singing way up into the air. And that's what they do. They go up and up and up, and they sing to the top of their voices, and then they drop like a stone. I said to myself, "Whoa, that's worth saving." My name is Donal Sheehan, and I'm a dairy farmer from Caslines in East Cork. I farm 70 cows, supplying milk to Glanbia. That goes for liquid milk, cheese production, skim milk powder, any other value-added products that are made by Glanbia. I took over the farm in 1994, and I'm farming here full-time ever since, along with my wife Ita now, and we have two young children. Okay, so it's 5 o'clock, which is about a half an hour beyond milking time. But Cathal, my small little lad, is just gone for the cows there now. He's bringing him in, and they should be in shortly. I suppose our ideal is that we farm very much with nature, and if you were to look at it from above, you'd see lovely thick hedgerows. Still, most of the fields are still relatively small, most of them are only 5 acres. So, we farm with nature rather than against it, and it just works very well for us. And it's a real rewarding way to farm. All dairy farmers are tied to, you know, milking cows twice a day. We start always around 6:15, try to have the cows in for 6:30, get a good start to the day. Very minute you're up in the morning, especially in the springtime, you know, you're listening to bird song, and you know, you can get quite good at it so that you can identify the different species. So as the spring is progressing, you can hear, you know, the chiff-chaffs are first, followed by the willow warblers, the swallows. And it's just the cycle of nature, and that's ongoing. And then you have all the flowers coming into bloom. That's all cyclical as well. And you know, the more flowers you have, I suppose the more wildlife you have. That's really the bottom line. If you don't have the flowers and the insects, you won't have the birds. And it's just a matter of making room for a bit of everything. So this is the main passageway running down through the heart of the farm, where the cows go to all the different paddocks. And ironically, there was a hedgerow there one time, and years and years ago, my father was given a farm improvement grant, farm improvement inverted commas, to take away the hedgerows. And this is what people need to realise, is that you know, back in the 1970s, the hedgerows were regarded as, you know, taking up land and not having any value, so they were taken out, and they were encouraged to be taken out. And that's unfortunate, but that's human behaviour. You know, we one step forward and two steps back, and you know, roll on 20 years, and we're paying farmers to put them back in again. So rather than put back the hedge, my father planted this beautiful line of trees in broadside, so it looks like I suppose it looks like an avenue into a castle more than a farm roadway. But again, it's coming back to, you know, having a nice working environment, and you're bringing the cows in the morning, they're 6:30, and you hear the birds singing, and you're, you know, walking between those rows of trees. Just makes you feel good in a nice, enjoyable working environment. farmers don't realise the value that trees have as shelter. And this year was an obvious example when, you know, your temperatures are 26, 30 degrees, and that's just not natural in this country for cows that are outdoors. And taking away hedgerows or taking away trees now is just, you know, it's they have so much benefit, not just in shelter, but in lots of other aspects, you know, they need to be left there. We would have been really intensive back 20 years ago on shearing hedges and keeping every place neat and tidy. About 10 years ago, my father, who was a beekeeper, he retired, so it was up to me to either take it on or leave it. And, you know, bees, I always found beekeeping very, you know, it's quite therapeutic. And then I suddenly realised that if you want honey, you need wildflowers. I always looked at, you know, thistles, ragwort, all of those weed species, as we call them. You know, they're something that we shouldn't have in our farms. They are absolutely crucial for pollinators. It was only then I realised that, okay, you can't have honey if you don't have wildflowers. And so I began trying to switch the balance over a small bit. We're doing that ever since and pushing the boundaries out ever since, pushing as far as we can until we get a better balance between nature and food production.
Yeah, so for all intents and purposes, this looks like any other field, but as you can see, there's two big clumps of nettles here, and there's three or four more down in the further end of the paddock. And this is just something that I observed myself about 10 years ago. There was a pheasant in the middle of a bunch of nettles, and he was picking away at something, and I couldn't figure out what he was at, but I went over and I saw the whole bunch of nettles was full of caterpillars. And there's three species of butterflies, tortoiseshell, red admiral, and peacocks, that depend solely on the nettle plant for their caterpillars. So what we do is we keep these bunches of nettles, don't ever spray them or cut them. Inevitably, like they hatch out, and if the funny thing is, they don't use nettles that are in by the hedge, probably because of the shade that they need, full sun, and also there's more predators in by the hedge. And in July we cut the nettles so that there's a second crop comes on. This might be very strange to any farmers that are listening, but this really works. The secondary growth that you get from July onwards, you get actually a second crop of caterpillars to feed more birds and have more butterflies, so that you know, the children, when they come out in their biodiversity walks, can see these caterpillars and these butterflies. So, and this year we had our first cuckoo that I've ever seen on the farm. And what was it doing? Eating the caterpillars in these nettle bunches. So no nettles, no caterpillars, no caterpillars, no butterflies, no cuckoos. And that's a sad day, I suppose, when we lose all those species.
If you manage your hedgerows properly, it'll cost you less, because a lot of farmers just, you know, cut their hedges every year. We don't cut our, we trim them every couple of years, only side trim them. So that's saving you money, and you have a far more biodiverse hedge. If you have a buffer strip beside a stream, you're preventing runoff. If you have a bog, you're preventing flooding, because that bog is holding water before it goes into a stream and into a river. If you have wildflowers beside a hedge, you're providing a habitat for pollinators. You know, farmers are providing these and they don't realise it.
This is the centre of the farm, really. This is all the calving pens, cubicles, calf pens, a whole lot is in here. So even though it is an active area, we've put up bat boxes, and they're all taken up. Bats will readily take up bat boxes, even in intensive farmyards. Yeah, they're really, really good. And this is a house sparrow nest box. We have one there, we have one here, and there's three compartments in each, and they're all full, actually. So that's one of the rewarding aspects of farming with the environment, when you see things that you do when they're taken up and when they're successful. The spring you always associate with the sparrows chirping. That's the first sign of the spring is on its way, and you come out here early in the morning and turn on the lights and straight away they're off, and just makes you feel good. They might realise it, but I think every farmer is connected with nature. But that connection was broken, I think, when we went away from it and we got intensive. There is a middle ground where we need to go, and you just have to leave room for nature. Okay, you don't want your farm to go wild, because then your income is gone. But you don't want to farm it within an inch of its life either, because your soul is destroyed in, and you know your life is gone as such. You know, if you don't enjoy your work, you know what's it all for? I've been intensively farming for the first 25 or 30 years that I've been farming, and if you want to take it from me, it doesn't work. You need to just step back, take time out, see the wood from the trees, literally. You have to farm efficiently, but you don't have to farm where the environment gets damaged. At that level where you're down to the edge all the time, farming on the edge, it's not worth it, believe you me, it's not worth it.